Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tabletop Radio Hour, your podcast for everything tabletop. My name is Zach, and this week we've got the regular crew. I've got Mark, and I've got Steve. Mark, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I didn't die last episode.
It's a good sign. A good start.
I'm feeling good. Oh, man. Steve.
Oh, yes. I'm setting phasers to fun.
Nice.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You're stealing my joke. You are stealing my joke because I have said that in the past, and you said you hadn't heard it before. So I'm taking credit for my joke.
It's mine now. Put it in my notes.
Yeah. With all the T names.
With all the T names, yeah.
But yeah, this week we are going to be playing some more Star Trek adventures. I think this will be the last episode of this little story, mm-hmm. I believe. Just kind of wrapping things up from the last two episodes.
Hopefully, we'll see how it goes.
Hopefully, yeah. I'm hearing this, yeah. Because it depends on how we roll, yeah. As Steve says.
If you destroy the Earth, you're going to have to go back in time, deal with all that, too, you know. So,
Oh, my God. Who can fly around the planet quickly?
Oh, man. Maybe if we get a hold of that... That bird of prey that can cloak while it shoots. Maybe we have a.
That's nonsense. That technology will never be made.
never exist. But yeah, Steve, do you want to recap us on what happened last time?
Oh, if only I could. Okay. What happened was, let's see. Our mission is to infiltrate the an Orion space station to recover a Romulan asset for Starfleet intelligence, Tavik. So we went to the station. We made contact with the Orion prince, the Orion prince being controlled by the Orion female who actually controls the station, Drella. And while we were there, we saw them hand over Tavik to another Romulan who came in and was recovering her for purposes unknown. We followed them to the transporter. Had a little bit of a standoff where we kind of let them know that we were Starfleet, and they took us onto their ship, and right now we're in talks with them. Their current plan is to facilitate the defection of a high-ranking Romulan colonel, admiral, along with a very sensitive piece of Romulan stealth tech on a warbird, and we're now trying to ensure that that goes off without a hitch.
Exactly.
Pretty much it, yeah.
Perfect. Mark, you want to take us through?
Sure. So you are aboard the ship, the Batral, which is an old-fashioned Romulan warbird. You are heading to this rendezvous, and as you near the location where, you know, which is out in open space, you see already on location the Odessa. Your previous
Looks
ship
familiar.
Is patrolling is patrolling in the area. At which point, yes.
Okay. In route, I keep checking out the ship. I am like actually fascinated because this is an old time kind of Romulan warbird, and mm-hmm. one of my past lives was involved with the Trill Intelligence Organization, and I've got this sort of like, you know, like fan thing going on for old Romulan tech, and nice. Like seeing this up close and personal is really kind of a treat. So like I'm kind of hassling the bridge crew every now and then, and I'm like, so is that the current console, or did you swap this out from the original model? Because, you know,
This is just Steve.
I'm kind of irritating everybody with the Romulan nerdness.
Now, to be clear, this is Skeleton Crew. So the four of you are the only ones there.
Oh, okay.
So you're talking to Tarek,
Yeah, in that case, I'm just hassling the captain with all this stuff. And he's like, we've got stuff to do. And I'm like, okay, but what about this?
But I've got questions.
Yeah.
He's, exactly. Yeah, pretty much.
Shouldn't this be on the other side of the bridge?
But then, yeah, as you approach, you see the Odessa, your previous ship, is patrolling the area. Tevik points out that if they contact her father's ship, which she reveals is named the Wavern, that will reveal its location to any ships in the vicinity.
Okay.
So that's how things stand at the moment.
Okay, and we don't want to reveal them because the Odessa would probably engage and blah, blah, blah.
And until they can get the ship to the starbase, then she can contact the Commodore and confirm the non-belligerency. But she's not going to be able to do that to anybody below the Commodore's clearance level.
That makes sense to me.
Mm.
Okay, so...
I get it.
Are they... okay, so do they have a plan in place to cross the neutral zone and get over here? Or do we need to distract the Odessa and get them to move?
You're across the neutral zone. You're in Federation space. They have the cloak. They can travel. They got the cloak. They're going to travel into Federation space. And at this point, you're supposed to connect with them, beam her aboard so she can continue. However, if you contact them, the Odessa will know where it is and probably destroy it as a invading ship.
Right. We can't contact them directly. No, absolutely not.
But is there a way to track locate them? Is there a way to track the cloaking device in any way?
That's kind of the point of this. Is
point of a cloaking device? Yeah,
you track the engine emissions, but this prototype disguises the engine emissions. So no, there is no way.
So to contact. We're on the Federation side of the neutral zone, and we're in an old Romulan warbird. I presume we're cloaked?
No, but you're decommissioned as a transport. So you're a civilian transport. This is not a,
Gotcha. So if scanned, we would.
Yeah, you're not registered as a Romulan military vessel. And you can just say you've been transporting to the Adelphus station, and not in real danger, but
and we look like a relatively innocuous traitor. Okay.
Yes.
Well, let's play that up. Are we in position? Are we kind of where we think about where they're going to be crossing?
Yeah. You're approaching the rendezvous coordinates.
Okay. Yeah. Let's just go to the rendezvous coordinates because they should be able to find us there.
Yeah.
We'll rendezvous. We got a plan for it. We don't need to get their attention right now.
That's right where the Odessa is.
The Odessa is specifically on top of our rendezvous coordinates.
Yes.
Okay, so we do have to get them to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, just to get this straight, we're kind of doing stuff that... It's kind of shady.
We can't ring them up and say, hey, beat it, guys. Like,
hey, we got something to do here.
That's not going to fly. Our ship, Yeah. And we've just got one ship. If we had another ship on hand, we could have one of them fake a distress call and see and lure the Odessa away with that. We can send the Odessa a message and fake some sort of emergency. We just have to get something that's compelling enough for them to leave.
So here's an idea. If we send distress call for a short amount of time to the Odessa from a certain point, and then cloak and move after the distress call is down, after we've
This is a decommissioned warbird. All the military grade equipment, including cloaking devices, has been removed.
Okay, so the on talents on the
back. It really has been. I've been down there looking at the socket where the cloaking device used to be in. It was true. A brilliant example.
Sorry. There we go. Okay, so that won't work. Because I was misinformed. Thank you, Mark.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. No, don't worry about that. Who cares? You probably just pulled that from
I did.
Basic template of one. So.
Exactly, yeah.
Cool. Well, so that...
Plan B is I could actually hack into the computer of the Odessa from where we are now and try to put in some kind of subroutine that would lure them away.
Yeah, but wouldn't that put a red flag on you here? right now?
It like would, when... but honestly, we as long as it gets them away for long enough for us to get the ship to the starbase, then everything's groovy.
We could try it. What's plan B?
Yeah, I'm open to other suggestions. Now, as the science officer, I've got their command codes, and you know, so we've got a pretty good shot at, you know, that if you wanted to.
How, what else you got? However, be aware that is the crew there. They don't have a, you know, it's not Khan's crew. So if you pull the codes, they're going to know how to override them.
Yeah.
If somebody tries remotely accessing their ship,
they're going to know how to stop it.
Yeah, they have the protocols to prevent that.
Well, we don't want to. I'm not trying to like force the thing into override and run it off without their. I'm just trying to, if I could get in there and then mess with their sensors and make them think that the nearby star is like fluctuating and could go supernova, then maybe they'd head off that way to go investigate.
Here's an idea along the same lines.
Okay.
Is there a way to, I don't know, maybe almost mask our comms to almost like ventriloquism, like it's coming from somewhere else if we send out a distress signal? But oh no, that well.
We could actually go somewhere off and drop off a transmitter that pretends to be a ship.
Yeah. But do we have the means to do that?
Now,
on board.
Something to consider. The fact that the ship is here is pretty astronomical coincidence. So what that probably means is it intercepted the message that was sent and knows or suspects that a Romulan invasion is coming here.
Okay.
So you have to do something that's going to out prioritize protecting the Federation from a Romulan invasion.
Okay.
So, you know, a ship, you know, saying, you know, our toilets are backed up. They're probably going to say, tough it out.
Do it.
Yeah. So
we got bigger fish to fry.
Right. Right. So be aware of that as well.
I mean, what if I mean,
we need to make it look us. Like Romulans we were are invading part, from we elsewhere were, on the neutral zone.
No, but the thing is, we're part of them. So if we give them information that there's no actual Romulan attack, they might listen to us.
Well, yeah, but that's if we want to call them up and blow our cover. Like, then any other spies know what's going on. If there's somebody on their ship,
it doesn't have to be us talking. I mean, it doesn't have to be us talking.
Then why would they believe us if somebody else called them up and said, hey, we're with you guys, go elsewhere.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that I guess that call would originate from the ship, and then they would know it's from this ship.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think the only thing that's going to prioritize getting them to move is if we could convince them that the Romulans were attacking elsewhere. Now, we've got an old Romulan
how
ship.
How to do that?
We could go attack elsewhere. But we don't have a cloaking device, so that's going to be a pretty short-lived plan.
Yeah, we won't be able to get out of that.
Yeah,
at all, because we wouldn't be able to then meet up with the ship we need to and get out of here.
Exactly. I've got an idea. Do we have any spacesuits?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we suspect we kind of know that the. The cloak ship is around here somewhere, just not here specifically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let's.
Well, it could be. You don't know.
It could be. Yeah, we don't actually know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Is there? Okay. Can we get? Let's see. Can you think of a way that they could signal us without using subspace, without actually sending a radio signal to let us know that they're here?
Dumping call.
But
then.
I'm asking would also, yeah, Zach, not Mark, obviously. Yeah. GM, it's like, hey, can you tell us how to fix our problem?
Hey, how do we get over this? You know,
because here's the deal: I could go out on the ship in a spacesuit with a big banner that says "Follow us." The only thing is, we don't know if they're actually here and have received the message. We need some mechanism for them to say, "Yes, we acknowledge that."
I don't think there is. They're completely cloaked. I don't think there's anything that can happen without revealing their position.
Okay, how about this?
It would have to be something so stupid simple that it doesn't have to use technology.
You're right. Okay, I know what we're going to do.
Okay.
I like the spacesuit idea. I'm actually going to go stand on the opposite side of the ship from where the Odessa is. Like, obviously, they can scan us. They can see a guy on the outside of the ship. But I don't think even scanners are going to be able to read a painted message on a large banner that I'm going to hold out.
Oh, my God.
Is that plausible.
Yeah, but are you willing to go and stand out in the vacuum of space in a spacesuit holding a banner for the next foreseeable future?
Are you kidding me? I would jump at an opportunity to examine close up the exterior of a Romulan warbird from this vintage. I'd be doing this whether or not we've got a mission, honestly.
Okay, so here's...
So here's the plan.
Here's an alternate idea if it could work.
Mm-hmm. You guys plot for a minute. I'm going to take a quick break.
Okay.
So here's an idea. Like, we go up to the Odessa. Yeah. We send a message over going, hey, it's me, Weston.
Okay.
I had to get this ship over to you. I have important information. I beam over there. You guys get out. I get them to leave. You come back.
Yeah, but that kind of blows our cover with the Odessa. Like, we're doing this all sneaky-like because Starfleet, you know, they could have...
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just saying this is just an anonymous transport ship. I took it to get here. You're off doing something else, mm-hmm. you know, still mission critical. I had to get this to you, but I couldn't get a message to you.
And how, why, what reason are you going to give them for bugging out then? Say, and by the way, about that Romulan invasion, we got this covered. You don't have to stick around for that. Like,
yeah, but like my comm got intercepted, or I have no means of contacting you. So I had to come in person. Kind of say, like, shit went down. It's kind of serious. He's dealing with that over there. Meanwhile, I had to get this to you.
Okay. How about this for my plan? Okay. Okay. Hang out outside of the ship. Big banner that says, follow us. And another message below that says, bump the rock if you can read this. And I will throw out, like, a piece of space debris, a glove or something like that, and let it float through space, and their cloaked ship can bump and alter the trajectory of that glove once they see it. And we can scan the glove, and as soon as it starts moving slightly to the left or whatever, once something changes its trajectory, we know it's hit their cloaked ship.
Just a reminder that all of this stuff is, if it's visible to the Romulans, is also going to be visible to the Odessa.
Visible to the Odessa.
Well, that's why the actual sign is on the back side of it. They might notice that a glove changed trajectory from the Odessa.
If we're going to go with this one, like, I'm going to...
Okay, let's go with Zach's plan. Zach, they're contacting us. You can contact them.
Okay, so we'll get Steve and probably the... I'm so bad with names. I hate names. What's her name?
Her name is Tavik.
Tavik, yeah, there we go. Let's get him, Steve, and her out of frame.
Okay.
While I talk to these guys real quick.
All right.
Because there's no way to know that they're here if they're not looking for him, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, get them out of frame. I'll have the captain talk to him because it's the captain, and then say I have a message or something.
Captain comes on the view screen, says, Romulan ship, what's your purpose here? Tarek says, we are not Romulan. This is the independent trader vessel, the Batrall. We're transporting from Adelphus Station. Kind of look at you and say, what do you know, are you in shot? Zach?
Yeah. I'll be like off the back.
Okay.
You know, kind of back behind.
Yeah.
Okay.
My turn to kind of step up.
Yeah. At this point, okay. You're kind of running it.
Yeah. At that point, I'll step up. Okay. There you go, Captain.
Weiss, what are you doing there?
It seems things have gone a little backwards on our original mission.
Yes. We've gotten word that, you and O'Keir have gone AWOL. You're with the Romulans now?
No. Like you see here, these aren't Romulans. the captain here is a Vulcan in disguise.
Which could be a Romulan. That's like the same thing as a Romulan in a different outfit.
You're on a ship with a big bird painted on it. That sounds like a Romulan ship to me.
Yeah, and if only we did something about that paint job.
And we're told information is that a Romulan invasion is coming at exactly these coordinates. What an amazing coincidence.
Romulan ship.
Well, I have transported here to contact you.
Okay.
why should I believe that? What are you here to inform us of?
We're here to inform you of a new infiltration zone.
So basically you're here to distract us from the Romulan invasion to help them get through to their actual target. That's what you're telling me?
I mean, if you don't want to listen to me, we can kindly go back and I can deal with the rest of the mission. But I'm just here to give you some information. If you don't want to take it, that is completely up to you.
I give Weston a big thumbs up. I'm encouraging him. Sell it.
I'm playing the passive. I'm gonna play the passive. I'm gonna say my things. I'm gonna get out of here. We're gonna get out, and then we're gonna come back.
Oh, this is so much better than mine.
We're gonna see if they left. We're gonna leave for a few minutes. We'll come back to see if they're still here.
You know what? Let's go for a presence command roll. I think we're gonna ramp up the complication because you're on a Romulan ship with.
We're what, so freaking suspicious right now.
Complication is probably gonna be about 3.
Oh yay!
I'll let you use your espionage focus, however.
Cool.
But this is going to be a hard sell.
What do you think? Prepared but hesitant would work for this.
We are not prepared.
No, not really.
No preparation going on here.
I'm not afraid to think outside the box, though.
Well, you got that going for you.
I mean, if I got that going for me, that's value. Oh, man. Okay. All right. Let's see. Start with no momentum, correct? So we're at 0 momentum.
Can't correct. Well, no. Actually, you lost. You have 1. You lost 1 at the start of the last scene, but no, you still have 1.
Oh, I have 1.
You do have 1?
I might use it.
You want to use that? Okay.
Might use it to increase that task roll to 3.
Okay.
And then I'll roll to hopefully save my life.
Okay. That is 2. That is not enough. He is not buying it. He says, our mission to... Lucky for you, our main focus right now is preventing this Romulan invasion. We'll deal with traitorous officers next. You might want to get out of the way, or we'll be coming for you next. And he ends his transmission.
Cool. Awesome. Cool.
Okay, cool. Let's get out of here. Before
I mean, at least he knew. So it's not like we told him anything that he didn't already know. So we didn't really blow our cover because it was already blown.
Yeah, you keep telling yourself that. Okay, quick question for Tavik. Admiral Tahrir, he wouldn't be a fan of military history, would he?
Sure. Some. What do you have in
okay.
mind?
Well, When in old 20th century Earth aviation, when a vehicle's comms were down, the universal signal for follow me was to basically wave your wings, kind of do back and forth wave with the wings. And that would indicate someone behind you that you're damaged and the comms are down and to follow you back to base or to follow you.
He might know that.
Okay.
It's worth a try.
Well, since we've been sent away anyway, I think we should clear out one way or the other. So okay. Let's try that.
She crosses over to the helm, and suddenly you hear a Zdan! She disappears in a disruptor beam. She completely. You turn around and Tarek is standing there with a Romulan disruptor.
Oh, god damn it.
Saying nice idea, but I think we need to contact the traitors and let the Federation destroy them. He's holding a disruptor on the both of you.
Well, Which one is he holding the disruptor on? Because we're not standing next.
Yeah,
to
he can't be holding on both of those.
Kind of between the both of you, between the two of you. So actually,
so if we good question, if we both where, go for it, he can only go for one of us.
Okay, well if he's holding so actually, the two of us,
good question.
I'll dive where, and you shoot.
Where are you? Where?
Well, yeah, we discussed. I was. I'll probably be kind of close by the captain's. Kind of like kind of where mine is right now.
Kind of okay. Ish. Probably at this console.
Yeah.
Wait.
You've been.
Where's the me icon?
Huh?
Where am I?
You're down.
You're by down the by, navigator station, basically.
Nav.
Okay. Oh, that's me. Yeah. That's me. I got it. Okay.
Yeah. You see that? Yeah, and I'm up top there.
Okay, so you're there. I'm here. Okay, and where is he?
He took a step back, so he's probably back over here at this point. So, okay. Got his back here. He's got his.
Then I'm going to try to get to the other side of my station here and use it for cover to start shooting back.
Okay.
If you want to try to quick draw him while my actions have him distracted shooting at me, you can do that, but it's up to you.
It kind of depends on what he does, like where he shoots.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get to cover on the other side of this thing and pull out a gun and return fire.
Okay, yeah, as soon as you move, he is definitely going to take a shot at you.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I'll attempt to quick draw as soon as he does that.
Okay.
Yeah. You know. So let's see what he does here. Here and boom. He does do some damage. Vicious. Oh, yeah. So I think that's 3 damage.
Okay.
To or 3 off your stress. Mm-hmm. And then he got a couple of
effects.
He had a couple of momentum, so he's going to add 2 more. So he does 1 more. So he does a total of 1, 2, 3, 4 off your stress.
Okay.
As his beam bounces off the console there. Okay. So Zach, you were going to try and quick draw attack.
Quick draw him. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and do that.
What do you think? Control security?
Yeah, control security. And you are going to...
I have hand phasers.
You hand phaser. Perfect. But because you're doing a quick draw, that's going to add to your complication. So that's going to make that a 2.
Okay. 3.
3. Nice. Okay. That gives you, that gives you actually 2 momentum. Do you want to spend those on damage?
I think I will.
Go for it.
So what is base damage for phasers?
For a phaser? Did you write that down? Didn't we look that up earlier?
I think you should just be able to hit the button.
Oh, it was 2. It's 2. It was 2D.
It was 2. It? Yeah, the base damage 2D. Is 2.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, I got 2.
Yeah, did 2 momentum. 2 extra? Yep.
I'll put those 2 back in. So,
okay.
Put that up to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was not correct.
That's only 1 die. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think was it. There we go. We have to click outside of that little box.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
The thing.
Also, I forgot about that. Bear in mind, you also get your security bonus to all damage as well.
Oh, on top of that?
Yeah.
So I get security on top of that.
Yes.
I'm going to roll another 4 because that's a 4. So 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. And do these count as 1 since it's a phaser now?
Because it's
so 7.
Okay. So that.
Oh, and I believe it has vicious 1. So an additional 1.
So I think vicious 1. Vicious adds to the damage, I believe. So that
I believe it just adds 1 to the damage.
Yes. So, right. So yeah, you've got him pretty good. He is going to take his shot at you now. Yeah, he hit 4. He just did 2 to you.
Okay.
Steve, you're up.
All right with that.
Okay, I am shooting. So let's see. It is insight security? No, control security.
Control security, yes.
Okay, so it's a, let's see, what's the complication range? Is 1?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and task roll. Let's see. I'm not using computers for this, so no focus. And roll. Task roll, two dice. Yes.
Mm-hmm. No successes.
No, that's no good.
No successes.
Wince as I mar I do the believe, beautifully yeah, articulated command screen behind the guy.
Not only got, no success, but only. You got a complication.
Oh no.
I didn't catch you. You got a complication earlier, Zach.
Did I?
Yep, that's a 20.
Yes. He has basically you're driven
up there.
He hit the console earlier, which kind of exploded. So you have to jump out from that so you no longer have cover.
Okay.
So that's for Zach. I'm just gonna give myself another couple more threat.
Yeah, go for it.
To deal with that. So which I think he is going to use a threat now. I think he's gonna shoot back at Steve this time.
Okay. Why not? I don't have cover. Now's the time.
Yeah, exactly. boom. Ooh, yes, and he got two momentum, so that is a bunch of damage.
Mm-hmm.
2, 4, 6, 7 damage.
7.
Okay, that I only had 6 stress left, so.
Okay, so you take an injury. So I you, think... So yeah, you, taken under injury, you can put disruptor burn.
Okay.
Okay. And that's going to give
out,
you.
Right?
Huh?
I'm out.
No, I don't think you're out yet, but that is going to give you a negative.
Yeah, I think you get negative effects until you like take max damage or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's a. -1 die from all of your actions. Does that sound right?
Okay.
I think so. I'll find it
real quick. Okay. And then you're up, Zach.
Cool. I'll just go ahead and I'm gonna kinda pop behind kind of this wall a little bit and kinda grab a little bit of cover while I shoot.
Perfect. Go for it.
And then I'll go ahead and shoot again. Okay. This needs to go to I'll get that later. So again, control security. I get hand phasers again.
Mm-hmm.
Is the complication at 1 now since I'm not quick drawing?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Task roll of 2. And I got 1 on that.
Got the first one. Okay, that's good. Roll some damage.
Cool. And then so my damage will be. So 4 for security.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get any momentum, so that'll still stay at a 4.
Yep.
And I'll just roll that.
Okay.
4.
Plus your damage bonus.
Damage bonus is
equal to your security.
No, that was with just security. I just rolled 4 for that.
Okay, so what about your 2. Weapon? What
Sorry
about your
for the weapon? Yeah, 2 for the weapon now.
Oh, okay. Oops,
that's 4 again.
Yeah. Oh.
Let me hit that one more time. I didn't click outside the box. There we go.
Gotcha. Okay. So.
So.
5, 6.
The last
damage.
One, and then the. Not the one before that, before that. Yes. 2.
Okay.
4, 6.
Yeah.
6 damage.
He's pretty shaken. Steve?
I would imagine he would be.
I can try to shoot at him, sure.
Okay.
Okay. Focus.
He's backed into this corner, so he doesn't really have much cover.
Okay. Much cover? That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to shoot, but how do I do... because my task roll is 1 instead of 2 now, right?
Correct.
Okay. And...
Now, unless... You still have determination, right? Do you have any values that would apply to here?
Technology, explanation... No, all my stuff is pretty much on me. I do have Put Your Faith in the Crew, so... Perhaps working in concert with my buddy over here to shoot at this guy.
And not really in this case, but you got 1, so that did that did something, so you can roll some damage.
Okay, rolling damage.
2?
Mm-hmm.
That was enough. He slumps in the corner.
Okay.
So.
Awesome. Well, great. He's killed Tavik, and she had the codes that were necessary to the non-aggression codes that she was supposed to send to her dad.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. now we're stuck without those. I am going to, since we're now the only two people on this ship, I'm going to take a look at the consoles and see if I can find any information on that anywhere in the system. If it was some sort of you know, communications package or something like that, it might be in the software. In her, okay. you know, in her file somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I'll just tell you, no, it's not there. She didn't. Okay. She didn't record it anywhere.
Okay.
Gotcha. And of course, there's no other crew here. I don't believe.
Correct.
No, like on the deck right now.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, we could try to get him to follow us, but we don't have any way to tell him that. Give them the all clear to do the handover, so potentially they would just turn their asses around and leave the starbase if they didn't receive the signal for us.
Yeah.
So do you have a way around this?
I mean, we can try and get them to follow, like you were saying before.
Okay.
We can attempt to do that.
We can get them to follow us, sure. So let's do that.
Yeah, if they're here, they can follow us. And we can at least get him over here and explain what happened.
Set a low warp course to the starbase and wiggle the wings.
You got no momentum, do you?
No.
Okay.
I have one determination, though.
Do you That's want? Important. Do you have what? What are your values?
I've got
and none would apply.
Better living through technology. The key to others is the key to knowing yourself. That one doesn't apply at all. And put your faith in the crew, which no.
You know what?
Knowing others like you know yourself, that would be a.
I'll let you use that one if you want to spend a determination. I will give you something.
I absolutely will. Yes, I will spend that determination.
Go for it.
Okay, you realize you have an unconscious Romulan spy in your possession. You now have leverage. You now have something to offer the Odessa to prove
that's good.
Okay, so we
probably if you were to hand him like over, well, no, I was saying if you hand him over, he might be able to confirm that
that there's no actual
invasion. Yeah,
Romulan invasion.
Okay, yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true. Okay, and since we don't really have any other play right now, let's go ahead and do that.
Yep. If you want to hit comms.
Yeah, contact the Odessa.
Okay. Yeah, Captain responds again.
Okay.
Wife.
Who's if you want to talk to him, you can. Yeah, since
at this point,
he's not too happy with me.
I might as well talk to him since clearly
okay.
our cover is blown already.
I'll just hold the Romulan up.
Okay,
he's unconscious. I'll just hold him up to show him to the camera.
I say, Captain, this is Sirian O'Keer, and we have in our possession a Romulan agent who has recently planted the information about the Romulan invasion. Permission to transfer him to your ship for further interrogation.
You're going to turn him over?
Isn't that the plan? No, if we turn him over, well, he can cooperate.
The captain is asking this. He's suspicious because
I thought that was no. Mark asking.
That was me asking. That was Captain.
That was Captain.
That was the captain okay, asking. Cool. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. I say yes.
Only if you are willing to cooperate with us in order to get him to.
We need you to take charge saying. Of the prisoner and take him to. Well, at that point. You know, whatever your discretion is.
I will take command of the prisoner, but it does not mean that I am under the command of a traitorous lieutenant.
No one's giving commands here.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure Weiss wasn't trying to take over here, but sure. Give him
over. Oh, he's done enough damage for one day.
Yeah, we're willing to take him.
Okay.
So,
Down if you want to transport him.
Shields down, transport on my mark, and if there, this is a trick to beam a torpedo aboard. Remember, your ship, my ship's a lot newer than your ship, right?
Yeah, I don't think a torpedo trick would actually work at this point. So yeah,
okay,
understood, Captain.
All right, so yeah, they'll drop their shields long enough to
load the torpedo.
Okay. Fire.
Yeah. So you beam the guy aboard, mm-hmm. and
he didn't say anything about two torpedoes.
No. The evil trick was our prisoner actually has a very virulent version of the cold, and everyone yeah. will get the sniffles within a week.
He has the coronavirus.
Coronavirus. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, there's a joke. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So it's all quiet for a while. You're just sitting there in some nervous tension.
Yeah.
And
I play the girl from Ipanema on the bridge to help everyone settle down a little bit.
Nice. Make a presence command roll. Let's do this as a group task. You can both do it. If you have any focuses or values.
Well, I mean, I've got advisor. Whenever you assist another character using your command discipline, the character being assisted may reroll 1d20.
Perfect. So you use okay. that, Steve, if you want to use presence command. Okay. And then I don't know if you have any values that you want to spend determination with, you can.
I think this is the knowing others is probably a good one on this one. We're looking
perfect. Find. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So determination.
Yep.
And
okay. So yeah.
You can reroll one of those. Oh, if there's no real success.
Okay. That's right. Well, I've got one success, I'll reroll the zero.
Yeah.
Just hit the task roll to one again.
Yeah. There you go. Perfect. So you got two successes. Two. You the captain comes on a little bit later and says, "All right, we've gotten the Romulan to spill the beans. Apparently there's not an invasion coming through."
Correct.
And it's actually some sort of defection.
Kind of stroke my chin and say I can either confirm or deny that.
I'm not in frame.
I say, but yeah, I say yes, and it would be in the Federation's best interest if perhaps the Odessa were in a slightly different section of space.
Odessa is going to return to Starbase 157 and establish a defensive perimeter at that location.
Understood, Captain. And I think when we meet theirs next, I'll owe you a drink.
We'll see. Odessa out. He closes and the Odessa shoots off into shoots back towards the Starbase.
Okay. Okay, well, once they're gone, give it a little bit. And then, do you want to, send out the message, try to contact the ship.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, once they're gone.
You send out a hail, and very quickly you're responded to by Admiral Carrere. This is Admiral Carrere. Identify yourself.
I say, this is... Sirian O'Keer, acting captain of the ship
Patrol.
Too yeah. many names. I say we've been sent here to find you, Admiral, but there's been some unforeseen complications in the operation. Unfortunately, double agent Tarek has attacked us and shot Tavik.
Ah. So many T names.
You see.
Did she get vaporized or is she still alive?
Yeah.
Is she still there?
No, she's vaporized.
She's gone.
Damn it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see the hurt in his eyes and he sighs. Says, I understand. What do you want me to do? I'm prepared to turn myself over to Commodore Stravet.
Well, I'm sorry we have to do so in such poor circumstances, but if you would follow us to the starbase 157, I'll establish communications with the Commodore and we can make sure there's no unforeseen problems, loss of life, any complications. Do you what's the status of the crew of your ship? Are they on board or are they going to want to return to Romulus?
I only have a couple and they're loyal. They're with me. So,
okay.
We're okay. We will remain cloaked, but we will follow you. Let us know when it's clear at that location to reveal ourselves and we will.
Understood. I'll establish contact with the Commodore and relay any instructions from her to you to facilitate this.
Agreed. Prayer out.
Okay. Set a course, medium warp to Starbase 157.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, you get back pretty easily. You do see the Odessa kind of patrolling right before the Starbase, but you can contact the Starbase directly.
Okay. Yeah. Put me through to the Commodore.
Okay. Yeah, she answers and says... what's the status of your mission?
Okay, I give her an update on the status, where we are right now, and that we've got the Admiral in tow, and just ask her what. Just let us know when you want him to decloak and surrender. He's here.
What Admiral are you talking about?
The Admiral who is currently. There's a cloaked Romulan ship that was going to be turned over to your command, a defector, Admiral Tahrir.
And you've confirmed this?
Yes, he's here.
To our knowledge, we have.
Ah, well, let's see what he has to say. She pushes some buttons and says, "Okay, I've given the order to stand down." Have him decloak, and we'll give him some landing coordinates.
Okay. Okay, pass on the command on the frequency.
Okay.
See what happens.
And, he decloaks, and you kind of overhear a brief welcome, and he officially surrenders himself over to Federation custody, and the ship flies into the starbase, and... that is,
it explodes.
Yeah,
that's what I'm expecting is going to happen.
This is going to look so bad if they blow up our starbase.
No, exactly. No, everything. He turns himself over. They get the technology, and they're able to figure out now how to track cloaked ships based on their exhaust emissions.
Nice.
Which, who knows, may come in handy someday.
In approximately two movies.
Yes. So that is it. The Artemis is there. That's basically the end of this episode. So
awesome.
Well done.
Well,
yeah, that worked. Mark, really
thank
nicely.
You. Thank you for running this game for us.
You're welcome.
And now we're on to our segment, RPG Reflection. In RPG Reflection, we talk about our last gaming session. In this case, it was Star Trek Adventures. All three episodes. we thought it was going to be like two and some, but it ended up being like a solid three episodes.
Yeah, bit epic.
Yeah, we were really dragging our fleet, though. Sorry.
Oh, Steve.
Yeah.
Get out of here. No, seriously, get out of here. But yeah, Mark ran this. It was a lot of fun. We've been wanting to play Star Trek Adventures or any Star Trek game just in general.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Probably since the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah.
And so I'm so happy that we got to actually sit down and play. And I liked it. I loved it. It was great. It was fun.
And Mark got to try out the new Modiphius system, I think. You said yes. This is the only one you hadn't played with before?
Yes. Yes. I have now run every Star Trek game that has come out since it began.
Well, that is an achievement.
As the resident expert, then, how does the Modiphius system compare to the others, then? What did you like and what did you not like about it?
I liked it. It's very interesting. You know, the most, you know, the older games are very old rule, you know, roll the dice. This has a lot more, it's a lot more narrative, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm really, and we didn't really use it, but the supporting character mechanic is something I really like. And mm-hmm. I think it could make, you know, because one of our biggest concerns was running with so small a group with just two players. And, you know, I think that would make this more reasonable to do, at least. Mm-hmm. So, no, I thought it, you know, it flowed pretty well. It's interesting because a lot of the older games really kind of focus on the various roles. And I think this kind of streamlines some of the positions a bit. So you can be a little bit more jack of all trades ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you can be, you know, a very specific Scotty type engineer or Sulu Helms person, but you can also be a lot more of the flexible type too, which is an interesting distinction, I think.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, a very interesting social experiment or gaming experiment, I guess.
Yeah.
Would be to like to have the players. So like, even if it's a small group, you know, with this system, even with us two players, you know, creating the entire crew, flesh out the entire crew, get like know those characters, and then jump into like a campaign or something like that, where switching back and forth between characters will feel a lot more appropriate than I think it did in this.
Well, this scenario was kind of a distinct scenario in that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it was designed for the two of you to be on your own thing, doing your own thing.
Right.
But yeah, that's exactly what the support characters are there for, is to have the rest of the crew for you to step in and out of and experience and get to know and develop. One of the things is when you spend experience points, you can spend it on your character or you can spend it on a supporting character to help beef up that backup crew.
Well,
which is super helpful.
I'm still, and we have to play with it more before I can kind of, you know, address it more directly. But honestly, like switching between characters kind of generally pulls me out of it as a player. It pulls me out of the immersion sense. True. So I'm overall, you know, I was like, if it were just like the two of us in a runabout, like that would have been just fine by me. Not that I had any problem with the captain. I like the crew that you made for the new ship. And, you know, I could see that as sort of an ongoing thing. It's also a lot handier if you've got extras laying around. If you want to add another player to the mix, boom, just drop into an existing character. Like
just
that.
Drop into a kid. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. Agreed.
But if I was, you know, if it was a matter of like, okay, I'm going to be this guy for this scene and then step into somebody else for another scene, I don't know. I have a hard time, like, that kind of breaks immersion for me.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do it too often.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think if you created that character and helped build that character, and you're connected to that character, to all the characters.
Yes, that's true too. I kind of threw those characters out just so you'd have something. But normally would happen is it's a very quick creation process. You would say, we need a doctor, and there's very quick rules. You basically do it. Even these characters, you don't finalize the character until someone steps in and starts playing it. So if one of you did choose to, you would establish what that character's values are and some of the focuses and some of those things. You know, you would establish those to help give that character some of your life. The difference is then it's not when you're done. It's not your character. So it goes back into the fold, and then anybody else can step in and pick up that character anytime.
It sounds perfect for us because we're just, if we do round robin GMing, like,
yeah, that's true,
we're doing that already.
That's true.
Actually, yeah. That would be really well suited for that.
Except for, you know, playing those different characters and stuff like that. Well, but I mean, like with NPCs, taking it the, you know, the opposite, not talking about the player character, talking about the, you know, the NPC, we do change those NPCs a lot. So we're kind of doing the same thing.
And if it were an issue of like, when you start the session, if you're playing the entire session as a different character, then that is a lot cooler to me than like, I'm fine with that. Like,
yes,
the idea of like, okay, well, we've got a scene. I'm going to be the doctor for this scene and then the engineer for the next scene. Like, that's kind of rocky. But if it was a whole session of playing this other character, then that's like, okay, well, we're just developing different guys.
Well, it's scene, but it's based on kind of situational awareness too. If you go on a mission, you're that character on that mission. So that's a, you know, it's a real clear, you know, scene. It's not just jumping back and forth.
Right.
But
so it's like you jump into a character, you play a session, you jump out of that character maybe.
Yeah.
For the next session.
Yeah.
And the next session's a new story and you're a different character.
This, if you need it, you know, this episode, for example, you might have played a character for one of the sessions, you know, one of the acts. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that act, you can decide, do I keep that character or go back to my original character? You know, in this case, you didn't really have that opportunity because you weren't on the ship and they weren't accessible all the time. But
No, but if we like at the point where we had, you know, split with them, we could have contacted the Artemis. We could have swapped people.
Could have.
And then, you know, gone from there if we wanted to.
Yeah.
But, you know,
but no, overall, the mechanics, I thought, you know, and they're so similar to all the other 2D20 stuff that we've done with other games.
The Modifia, the other Modifia stuff.
Yeah. Right.
I think this was a little, this was a little bit crunchier. It's got a little bit, you know, and because it's sci-fi, I think, especially
because
there's more moving parts.
Well, and because it's Star Trek.
Yeah.
Especially because there's a lot of things to keep into account.
Yeah. But, I still think it flowed pretty well and felt, pretty natural. Yeah.
Well, how did tossing the espionage genre on top of Star Trek feel to you? Was it like second nature? Was it definitely something that felt good?
It felt pretty natural. You know, I think Star Trek espionage has a little different flavor than, you know, James Bond or Mission Impossible or, you know, it's but it's been established enough in the series, various series, is that I think it felt okay. How about you guys? How did it feel to you guys?
Oh, I liked it a lot. I had a great time with it. Like I felt immediately at home when we started, like, you know, flipping out terminology and terms and locations and stuff like that. Overall, I had a great time with it.
Nice.
Yeah, it felt both familiar and fresh at the same time, which is good.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it very, very much. It was a lot of fun. It had a couple hurdles to get over, but it's a game, you know, play a game, you have to, you know, overcome those learning curves.
Yes.
But I definitely play more of this. The one thing that, so we kind of discussed going over rules and stuff before we started playing today. There's really no clear, description or, you know, something in the rules that allows you to swap your phaser to stun, or it doesn't explain that or anything.
Didn't see it. No,
it's kind of weird.
And that's
I'm not saying it's not there. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying it's not there. I'm just, it's unfound. It's not clear.
It doesn't
seem to be as clear.
Yeah. And kind of what we've discovered is the way the book is laid out, it intermixes a lot of the flavor text and the, exposition and background stuff in with the rules. So a lot of times the rules tend to get mixed in and hard to find.
A little muddy.
Yeah. I think if we were trying to spitball something, I think just saying that, okay, when you run your stress down to zero, if you're doing phasers on stun, then instead of gaining a injury, you're just unconscious.
Yes.
But it wasn't really.
I mean, honestly, like there's no mention of it in the phaser section or in the weapons and attack section of the book, which confuses me because it's such a big part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it felt nice the way we did it.
And like, because there is like a non-lethal effect. And it's like,
but it's not on phasers.
But it's not on phasers.
Right. Yeah.
It's on zero phasers. So it's like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just assumed that you can switch your phaser, like,
which is I guess, what we did, and that I guess worked like out well.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we accomplished it, we got through it, and we mm-hmm. made it work on our own, but we're also fairly experienced tabletop gamers, so that's fairly yeah. easy to do.
It did feel like sort of an omission, considering how detailed a lot of the other stuff in the book is, so, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, I'm interested to either know why that was omitted, or if it's not omitted, why it's not more clear.
True.
But yeah, that'll be interesting. I just need to dissect that book completely.
If you're a Star Trek Adventures yet. Fan, then light up our comments with the response to this one. So
please, absolutely. Please, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or if you work at Modiphius, let us know.
True.
Also send us free stuff.
But also send us free stuff. Hey, we have sponsor spots available. Yeah. But yes, I think we've talked for long enough. I had a blast. I would love to see this come up again in the future.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Because I think, you know, once we get a little more in depth and we can start to get to know the system and these characters and sub characters and whatever even better.
Yeah.
We can get into that. And I think I have a lot more fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Definitely.
So thank you, gentlemen, for joining me. And I think that'll be it for this segment of RPG Reflection. And that's it for this episode of Tabletop Radio Hour. Like always, you can find this episode on soundcloud.com/tabletopradiohour and on iTunes. You can find us on Twitter @tabletopcast if you have any questions or comments. You can join us over on facebook.com/tabletopradiohour for regular updates. We also have an email address that is tabletopradiohour@gmail.com. Our website, tabletopradiohour.wordpress.com. You can find information about our Patreon page on our website. I want to thank you all for listening, and keep rolling 20s.